Blog Talk Radio.
Don't move that radio dial any further, because you're at the right station at the right time and at the right place. Welcome to the biggest three-day weekend online. You're listening to this marvelous radio show, brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. We're on live, online, right here, right now. So sit back, relax, and listen and enjoy. And now, welcome to the show.
You look marvelous, darling.
Yes, you are very marvelous. How's everyone doing right now? How's everyone doing? This is the marvelous radio show. It's our third and final day of this weekend. The biggest three-day weekend online today. Live on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, I'm great. Wonderful Sunday. Marvelous Sunday. Physical. Just ask the whore. Big mouth. Folks and people who talk too much. Then they never shut up. Here's our send-off. Here's our second hip-hop song that talks about talking too much. Here's Houdini with Big Mouth.
A big mouth! A big mouth! There's a rumor being said about me and the crew, about something we get all the folks to do. You might not have heard it, or maybe you have, but when I first heard it, all I did was laugh. I used to get angry and all uptight, but you can say what you want, spell my name right. Cause all I never took me up was back to the house. But that's what the rumor was all about. So if you like the best, tell all your friends. And if you don't wait until you see me again, this day I can hear from the horse's mouth. And right then and there, we can straighten it out. Because I don't get involved if he said, she said, to take my advice and quit by your head. Because one day I might not last, today your mouth might check, go behind gang gang.
You got a big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth. A big mouth, a big mouth.
People used to say that you had a big mouth, and now I understand what they're talking about. Because what we do is just between me and you, not something that you run and tell your crew. But you had to tell Sharon, and she told Cal. Then the story rolled on just like a wheelbarrow. Cal told Dee Dee, and she told Pam. The Pebbles overheard her talking to her man. Pam was so cooking when she thought she heard. And somehow Easy E had got the word. He told somebody I knew from uptown, and they called me up and put me down. Now the whole darn story been changed around, and that's the reason why I'm not with you now. Because you never should have opened your mouth at all, and I wouldn't have had no reason to make this call.
You got a big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth. A big mouth. A big mouth.
Now you're the dime dropper of the neighborhood, and every time I see you, you're up to no good. You just got to face falling on the ground, looking for the news that's spread around. Then you stick out your tongue and start spreading lies, and now somebody else is in victimized. You may stop for a while, then you're at it again, and you always have to have the bad word in. They call your mouth almighty, tongue everlasting. You ain't satisfied unless something happens. You don't have to be there no more than a minute, but you always got to have your 2 cents in. So for all your big mouths, this stands for you. Something else you can run and go tell your group. So we made the beat big so we could rock the house, but we also made it big enough to fit in your mouth.
You got a big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth. A big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth. A big mouth. A big mouth. You got a big mouth.
That was legendary 80s rap group Houdini with Big Mouth. That's from their Escape album. It's kind of funny playing Run DMC and Houdini yesterday. I was just playing Big Mouth right here at the beginning because it got cut off at the end of the show. It's kind of ironic that those two groups were basically was going head-to-head to see which rap group was going to be the first one to have the
be the first rap group to have an album to go platinum. And Run DMC had their first album. It went gold. They went had 500,000 copies. But a platinum is like when it reaches a million copies. And for some reason, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether they ran out of gas or what, but I remember Houdini was on the verge of being the first rap group to have a platinum album, because it was from their Escape album, because they already had, like, you know, some hits on their album, like that one that we just played, like Big Mouth. Plus, they had other hits like 5 Minutes of Funk and Freaks Come Out at Night and Friends, How Many of Us Have Been. I mean, you had like 4 hits on that one album. That was, you know, and only one other rap group that I know of actually had an album where they had more than one hit. That was Run DMC. And they were, and I remember Christmas of 84, they had, or close, well, December of 84. 1984, that they were on the verge of having a million copies. They had like, Escape had like over like 940,000 copies. And then I think they were on the verge of hitting a million copies, and all of a sudden, bam, Run DMC came out with King of Rock, and it just, you know, knocked Escape out the water. So they became the first rap group, supposedly the first rap group to have a platinum album, even though Houdini was very close to being the first one. I guess it's probably safe to say they're probably the second one. They were probably the second rap group to have one, even though they were probably closer to getting it one before Run DMC did. But, you know, just a little hip-hop trivia going on, a little hip-hop trivia. Plus, speaking of some big mouths of people who talk too much, you know, you can never shut up. There was this one British guy who was talking a whole lot of smack about, you know, about Serena Williams after winning the women's single on at Wimbledon, women's single at Wimbledon yesterday. And J.K. Rowling pretty much cleaned his clock verbally. I mean, she just told this straight crack on the heart. And for some reason, all that, I wish I was able to, I'm just having technical difficulties trying to get this thing up, but he, basically, in a nutshell, I mean, J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, basically put this dude in his place. You know, it's like, look, you know, look, what have you done? She won her 6th, you know, Wimbledon. What have you done in life? You know, whatever. It's like, man, get a job. But anyway, good job, Miss Rowling. Good job. And for all of us in the Middle Georgia area and the Macon, Georgia area, hope you're doing well. If you just tune in, this is the Smallest Radio Show brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. You're here with the D-Man, Derek Barrett here, ODB here. I hope you're having a great time this Sunday, this beautiful Sunday, this July 12th, 2015. And please, I hope you enjoy the beautiful sunshine that we have right now. It's 95 degrees with a high of 96 and a low of 74 degrees. And that's pretty much how it's going to be this week, the end of this weekend. And as a matter of fact, this upcoming week is going to be really hot. It's going to get even hotter. According to my six-day forecast, Monday is going to be high with 97 and a low of 75. Tuesday is going to be 98 with a low of 76 with some scattered showers, along with some scattered showers on Wednesday as well. But it's going to be at least a degree lower. It's going to be the high, and Wednesday is going to be 97 with a low of 74. Thursday is going to be back a little bit more sunnier with a high of 96 and a low of 75. And then Friday is going to be 98, sunny at 98 with a high. The high of 98 and the low of 75. That's pretty much what it's going to look like this week. Now, of course, it's going to change between now and this upcoming Friday. So we have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more days to see if it's going to be correct, and probably not. It's probably not even going to be the same numbers. But I'm glad that you all have stayed with us this wonderful weekend. course, you know, this upcoming week will be the beginning of the Macon Film Festival. It is going to be a special one. It's going to be the 10th anniversary of the Macon Film Festival, so you know it's going to be really incredible this week. It's going to be a great week. We're going to have several entries of short films and feature films, of course. Definitely have to give thanks to Terrell Sandifer, who has been the director of the Macon Film Festival for several years. This is the 10th year of the Macon Film Festival. I'm glad that I'm at least in one film this year. Of course, you know it's going to be the Legend of Seven Toed Maggie, which crossing my fingers. Seven Toed Maggie was directed by Joseph Lavender. I think his film is supposed to be going on DVD, supposed to be coming out on DVD and Blu-ray sometime very soon. He's still waiting on the distribution deal that they could get on, hopefully soon. And hopefully they'll be able to make some type of deal on Netflix or Redbox, whatever is available. I mean, it's a horror film. It should have no problem to play on Sci-Fi. It should be able to play on Sci-Fi. I hope it does, because they'll definitely get a large audience. Definitely a much larger audience, nationwide, if not national, if not global audience, because people love sci-fi around the world. yes, indeed. Who would have thought? I was just listening to on Sunday morning, early in the morning, that 101 years ago, yesterday, was when Babe Ruth made his debut playing a professional baseball with the Boston Red Sox. He was a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, and he helped them get to like win five World Series championships until he was traded to New York Yankees by the owner, because he had like this girl named Nono Nanette, and he was like supposedly her manager, and he ended up, you know, he traded her in order to have the money to get her. He traded Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees, and he got the raw end of the deal, obviously, because New York Yankees started winning World Series championships left and right. I mean, Boston Red Sox, they didn't even win another World Series championship until what, this century? I think it was 2004. So it was like a good 80 something years, almost 90, about what, 90 years or something like that, so they actually won something. Won a World Series, so you know. Think about that. That's something worth talking about. So awesome, some crazy stuff going on. Speaking of talking too much, I think it's right about that time to talk. It's 3:13 right now. I think it's right about time to get into the news. I don't know what happened. The KKK is talking about adopting a highway. How is this possible? This is from Noel Kaczynski from WGXA. It says, a Georgia court is set to hear arguments over the state's refusal to let a Ku Klux Klan group participate in a highway cleanup program. The Georgia Court of Appeals had the case earlier this week around Thursday. The North Georgia KKK's group of application for the Adopt a Highway program was denied in 2012. Now, the American Civil Liberties Union Foundation sued on the group's behalf, saying its right to free speech was violated. In November, a judge ruled in the organization's favor, saying it could adopt a stretch of highway and that the state gave the KKK scrutiny not apply to other groups. The state has appealed and wants the ruling reversed. In denying the application, the state said that said promoting an organization with a history of inciting unrest could negatively affect quality of life and economic development in Georgia, which does make sense. For some reason, I guess the Ku Klux Klan, they're making an appeal for the group, because there is one KKK group that was able to adopt the highway. This is in the state of Missouri. How they were able to do it, I have no idea. But somehow it happened in Missouri, and they're going to try to make it happen here in Georgia. And like, I swear, man, that racism is one huge, huge freaking cancer. And like, as soon as you get rid of one polyp or two, or one malignant group, there's always just one coming up or over the horizon, man. It's always coming up. Kind of sad, right? Well, you know, I guess it's going to be an online, oncoming battle, you know, trying to get people, people trying to act right, you know. And I guess that should tell you, that sometimes it's not just a flag that can divide people, but just a way of a person's thinking, a person's mindset that will put a flag like that to divide people. And that type of ignorance seems to be a constant thing, like the common cold is like, man, if there's a way we can just get rid of it, get rid of that foolishness, maybe somehow we can actually, I guess, lack of a better word, evolve, upgrade ourselves, do better, do much better. Well, anyway, in other news, speaking of talking about Donald Trump, Donald Trump has now surpassed Jeb Bush as far as popularity among the Republican presidential candidates. He just jumped ahead of Jeb Bush, who was recently in front of him. He's now succeeded Jeb Bush. As far as Jeb Bush answering about Donald Trump's question, he pretty much says that he's done. He's done. And it says, according to a Fox News interview earlier this week, Jeb Bush dismissed two questions about the real estate magnate whose controversial immigration comments have drawn reams of headlines. He asked about Trump's success in the polls. Bush replied, "I don't know if he's having success. We'll see in the long haul." He's pretty much clearly tired of talking about presidential candidate Donald Trump, obviously. Bush was then pressed if he felt Trump's candidacy was harming the broader Republican Party. He declined to answer. He has already stated my views about Donald Trump, he said. With some light prodding, Bush said he wouldn't be drawn into a food fight with someone who won't win the election. He says, "I'm done. I'm through. I gave my views. I just think that we need to be much more hopeful and optimistic about our ideology," he continued. He said that we should focus on that and not get into a food fight that only brings energy to someone who I doubt will be president and is not a constructive force for our party, end quote. Since Trump has been the focus of the presidential race since his June 16th campaign kickoff, when he raged against the Mexican government for sending, quote-unquote, rapists and other criminals to the U.S. Several of Trump's GOP rivals have since described his remarks as inappropriate, and Bush previously said Trump's comments don't represent the Republican Party. Thus, we hear the part that Trump has plenty to say about Bush, whom he has repeatedly assailed both on the campaign and on Twitter. In fact, Jeb's brother George insisted on a $100,000 fee and $20,000 for private jet to speak at a charity for severely wounded vets, which was according to the reporter, it was not really nice. It says Donald Trump, and this is a matter of fact, I think a couple of tweets that Donald Trump said about Bush, well, George W. Bush's brother, who's running that right now. He says, "Jeb Bush will never secure our border or negotiate great trade deals for American workers. Jeb doesn't see and can't solve the problems." And then he adds on and says, "View Bush's Fox News interview below." Okay, so basically he asks about Trump at the end of, in the interview. So, but still, whether or not he has a chance to defeat him or not, the thing is that Donald Trump does now have the lead now, and Jeb Bush has the lead. And I hope it's not because of ulterior motives that they basically believe that, well, he can do what he says he plans to do. Now, it kind of makes him kind of Donald Trump. It kind of makes Donald Trump into a hypocrite because he's talking about that Mexico brings rapists, but yet he has people who work, I guess, to work the parts of his building. I have some construction workers who may be illegal. Now, what does that say about him? Now, what does that say? We don't know. Now, I guess it does kind of make him look like a hypocrite somewhat. And plus, now to mention, you know, I know a lot of people don't want to see another Bush in the White House, but I guess maybe that's just another reason why a lot of people want Trump to be the Republican candidate, because they don't want to see a third Bush in office, and there's never been a third person of the same family, political family, to be in the White House. I mean, you had the Roosevelts, you had Teddy Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt, who were cousins, you know, distant cousins, though, but still nevertheless in the same family. And then you have the Adams family with one D, not two D. Yeah, John Adams and John Quincy Adams, who were father and son. And then you have, you know, William Henry Harrison, who not that many people know that much about him, because he was only president for a month until he died of pneumonia. So he basically had the shortest term in U.S. presidential history. And then he had, William Henry Harrison, who was the ninth president of the United States, and then his grandson, not his son, but his grandson, Benjamin Harrison, who was the grandson of William Henry Harrison, who basically split terms with Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland was the 22nd and 24th president of the United States, which Benjamin Harrison pretty much kind of like split his term. So, I mean, go figure. Even though 43 men have been the president of the United States, yet Obama's the 44th one. But even though there's been 43 men that have been elected, that have become president of the United States. It's kind of like basically Benjamin Harrison is the reason why Grover Cleveland had non-consecutive presidential terms. He was basically upset his back-to-back trend. But that's not a hero there. Have some other stories. Well, you know, this is Shark Week. Shark Week is a big thing. Of course, we know that because that's right about this time in July. They always have Shark Week. Depending on what channel that you're watching, it seems like different channels celebrate Shark Week in different weeks. Like last week, like AMC, they have been playing a whole bunch of the movies of the Jaws franchise. They played the original 1975 Oscar-winning movie, Jaws, which, matter of fact, ironically came out 40 years ago this summer. It's hard to believe 40 years ago came out when that movie, and it still gives people chills to this day. And what's the most ironic part about the entire film is that you don't see the shark that much, because the mechanical shark in the movie didn't work for some reason. They had to find some kind of way, so they basically had to shoot around the shark and basically focus on the parts in the movie where you didn't see the shark. And they pretty much, I guess, they just shot those films in the water where the shark is attacking, Ron Schneider and Robert Shaw's characters. And basically, that's basically how it worked. And it seemed like it worked like a charm. It was better that it did happen that way. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a blockbuster. But there are some shows. I think the Sci-Fi Channel is going to be having a lot of shark-based films. I think, they're going to have the new Sharknado film is going to be playing this upcoming week. It's going to be playing this week on the Sci-Fi Channel. And speaking of sharks, Sharky's Machine, you like that? Yeah, Sharky's Machine is going to be playing at the Make a Film Festival next Sunday at 5 o'clock. PM, because it was directed and starred Burt Reynolds, who is one of the major guests of this year's phenomenal 10-year anniversary of the Make a Film Festival. This is supposed to be a really huge one, and Burt Reynolds We'll be talking about Sharky's Machine, and that's supposed to be really, really huge. That's supposed to be a really – I hope I'll be able to be among those who get to see him, because it'll be really great to be able to at least shake his hand or at least ask him a journalistic question, you know, about filmmaking. I think it would be a thrill, and I would be so glad to be able to make it there. In fact, that's why I'm trying – that's what I'm going to attempt to see if we can have some live showing, live man on the street, broadcast of the It's Marvelous Radio Show next week during the Macon Film Festival, because Macon Film Festival, it starts, I think this upcoming Wednesday at July the 16th, and it will end a week from today, next Sunday, July 19th, from 16th to the 19th, and then after that, Rag Jam will be starting right about that same time. So we're going to have music, we're going to have movies and music within the next 2 weeks celebrated in Macon, Georgia. Those who haven't been to Macon, Georgia, those who are watching this show and haven't been to Macon, this is your time to come and see it. You definitely need to come by. You won't be sorry. I guarantee you will not be sorry. I think this is the best. If there's a time to definitely come to Macon, this is definitely that time. And I hope you get a chance to come down to Macon and enjoy yourself, because it will be a treat. I guarantee it is going to be a treat. Going to be a treat. It's been, dang. I did, goodness gracious, it's so sad that we've lost so many people this week. I mean, we lost Omar Sharif from the Oscar-winning film, Masterpiece, Lawrence of Arabia. We also lost Amanda Peterson, who was a teen idol, a teen actress from the 80s, and who was found dead in her Greenlee, Colorado apartment last Sunday. She was only just 43 years old, just a few days. Died a few days shy of her 44th birthday. The medical said that the actress actually, even though she was found dead last Sunday, she actually passed away this past last Friday before last. And she played opposite the actor Patrick Dempsey in the 1987 film Can't Buy Me Love, which was made into a remake. It was renamed Love Doesn't Cost a Thing and starred Nick Cannon, who played the Patrick Dempsey nerdy character, and Christina Milian, who played Amanda Peterson's character in the film. Kind of weird, huh? Kind of crazy, huh? Full circle. And basically, the story says Amanda was in very good spirits, but there's been a lot of controversy because they have pictures of her mugshot, which was really kind of sad that you know, had pictures of her in those days. I didn't think she was going through that much time, so I think she just made some movies, and that was she was in one little independent film back in 94, and that was the last thing she did. And I remember she was in an episode of Doogie Howser, M.D. And so many people like Patrick Dempsey, who played opposite her in Money Can't Buy Me Love, basically gave his condolences to her mother through Twitter. And also I want to say rest in peace to Kim Stabler. He was part of the Raider Nation. He was a Super Bowl winning quarterback who played under Coach Paul Bear Bryant along with Joe Namath in the University of Alabama. He was a great quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, who was then from 1970 to 1979. He was quarterback of the Raiders. He was the 52 pick out of the second round of the NFL draft in 1968. Wow, long time, right? He played ten seasons with the Oakland Raiders, and he played one season with the Houston Oilers, and then he played his last two, three seasons with the New Orleans Saints and retired after the 1984 season. The other news I wanted to talk about before we close, actually, two other stories. we have the former Mountie sales teacher filing discrimination suit against the school. Now, of course, we talked about this last year, right? Former Mountie sales band director Flint Dollar filed a federal lawsuit earlier this week alleging that the Catholic school discriminated against him because of his sexual orientation. Mr. Dollar, who is an openly gay man, said he signed a new contract in May 1st, 2014, to teach at the private school in Macon for the 2014-2015 term. He has said that he told the school of his plan to marry his partner in October 2014 and that no one at the school objected. David Held, the school's president, fired him on May 21st, 2014. Now, I remember this because this is one of the first stories we mentioned on this Marvelous Radio Show. This Dollar, who now lives in New York, contends that he was fired because of his marriage plans and that he didn't comport with the school's traditional gender stereotypes, quote unquote. The school released a letter last year saying that Dollar wasn't fired because he's gay, but because same-sex marriages go against Catholic doctrine. Attempts to reach Held for comment Tuesday were not successful. In the suit, Dollar said that before his meeting with Held, the school had never communicated to him that an employee could be fired for not adhering to the Catholic Church teachings on marriage, and that Dollar had never been informed that the school had an official position on marriage. Earlier this year, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has issued a finding that, quote, there is a reasonable cause to conclude, end quote, that Dollar had been discriminated against based on his sexual orientation. In a suit filed by Macon attorney Charles E. Cox, Jr., Dollar said a school administrator approached him in November 2010 about teaching band at the school. Dollar declined, but the same administrator asked him again weeks later. Dollar met with Held in January 2011, the suit said, and during that meeting, he told Held he was gay and living with his same-sex partner. He later applied for a job, and in April 2011, the school offered him one teaching instrumental, choral, and generic music, as well as piano. Wow. That is something else. Says the suit seeks a jury trial saying that the school acted with malice or reckless indifference to Dollar's federally protected rights. Dollar seeks back pay, reinstatement to his job, compensation for his emotional pain and suffering, and attorney fees. Wow. Talk about full circle, huh? He was fired a year ago, and now he's suing the school. It was bound to happen. It was going to happen. It was a matter of time. It was going to happen. Well, one more story before we get into it. Of course, you know Volvo, who was a very trendy and well-respected European car company, is trying out a brand new add-in for its cars. And basically, it has a new baby seat, which swivels, which nothing's wrong with it. Seems like it's being trendy. I'm trying to remember what I was. Okay. Having problems with it. Technical difficulty. Says it's a never-ending quest to be different. And Volvo thinks it may have come up with a cool idea to help parents deal with babies in the car. But instead of strapping the kid into the child's seat in back, Volvo is tinkering with the idea of taking out the front passenger seat and creating a pedestal. On it, there will be a swiveling baby carrier, a swiveling baby seat. Wow. That way, one parent can sit in the back seat facing the child, or the carrier can swivel towards the door. As Volvo showed the design recently in revealing its XC90 crossover vehicle in Shanghai, China. And Tish Johnson, chief designer of interiors at Volvo Cars Concept and Motoring Center, says that we started by asking ourselves if we could make life easier for parents and safer for their children when it comes to the child seat experience. And she says that the positioning of the child seat would make it easier to get a baby or a child in and out of the car, provide the kid with constant eye contact with the rear passenger, and provide storage in all the baby stuff that parents carry. While it's a creative world concept, it would face trouble in the U.S. where many states require that children ride in the rear seat. So we'll probably know more about that in the upcoming months and probably soon, probably during later broadcasts, probably next week, probably. But hopefully have something about that to talk about during Macon Film Festival weekend, of course, you know. then hopefully make it a big thing, because last time I think I did the man on the street thing, we was a few months ago when we had the Middle Georgia Comic Con. That was great, and I really enjoyed that, and I would love to do that again. Really would love to do that again. I hope I'll be able to do that soon, very, very soon. Also, I just want to say happy birthday wishes to George David McBrayer and Venus Glover today. Now, George David McBrayer, he's a former classmate. He was a former castmate of mine from the defunct comedy variety show SNL in the ATL. And Venus Glover, my former castmate of Anthony Harris's short film, Vicious Cycle. She's a great actress, wonderful singer. Hope I'll be able to see you at the Naked Film Festival, Venus. I hope I get to see you there this upcoming weekend. And also, since we're not going to be on the air tomorrow on Monday, at least not that I know of, unless Marvella has some extra episodes to put on, I want to say a happy birthday wishes tomorrow. Two people that are having a birthday tomorrow, want to say happy birthday in advance to Delphine Hutchins, a former co-worker of mine at WGXA. Hope we have a great birthday tomorrow. And also Spencer Hood, a former classmate of mine from Southwest High School. Go ahead, go Patriots, yes. Happy birthday to you, Spencer, if you happen to check out this broadcast. Hope you have a great birthday tomorrow. And also a happy 12th anniversary to Richard and Gina Dunlap. Happy birthday to everyone here. Hope you have a great, great birthday, those who haven't won today and tomorrow. And also a happy anniversary to Richard and Gina Dunlap. And happy anniversary to you and your wife, Gina. I mean, you have, I know you went through a lot of stuff. I hope you're holding on, making it. I know because you recently lost your father recently, and I hope you and your wife are doing a whole lot better, and just basically just keep hanging on. Just keep hanging on, sir. Happy anniversaries to you both. Oh, boy, and that's pretty much all that I have. Well, except for one thing I wanted to say, speaking of other cars, basically Hyundai is recalling about a 140,000 Sonata mid-sized cars in the U.S. and Canada to fix a problem in the front passenger seat belt buckles. The recall covers cars from the 2015 model year that were built from April 15, 2014 to December 4, 2014. Hyundai says that if the metal tongue on the belt is forced into the buckle at an angle, the buckle can jam and won't fasten, because the dashboard warning light will come on if the belt is not buckled. Hyundai says it has no reports of any injuries caused by the problem yet. Dealers will either repair the buckle or replace it at no cost to owners. Well, that's good. Hyundai says the repair will take less than an hour. That's really good, really good. And definitely keep yourselves, speaking of which, keep yourselves safe. Even though I know this, the 4th of July weekend is no longer long gone, but definitely keep yourself safe, particularly because there was a story that I didn't get a chance to talk about. Jason Pierre-Paul, an NFL linebacker of the New York Giants, will have to get his right index finger amputated due to a fireworks accident during the 4th of July weekend of last week. So I hope he'll still be able to do his job. Just want to let you all know about that. And plus, oh yeah, I almost forgot, Pope made a quick pit stop to a Burger King restaurant, I guess, because he had to use the restroom. And this is back in when he went to Bolivia, where he had to use the restroom. And, when you got to go, you got to go. Even Pope has to go. And South Carolina governor, of course, you know, Miss Nikki Haley, signed the law to take down the Confederate flag from the Capitol, which they did last Friday. That is a talk about a roller coaster ride of events that happened this week. We lost three famous people, a quarterback who we hope will be in the Hall of Fame, an Oscar-nominated actor, and a teen 80s actress who were great when they were in their work and they were at their best, and we will miss all three of them. And that's pretty much all the time that I have right now on this show. Be sure to check us out unless we have a different schedule.
definitely check us out every Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., every Saturday afternoons at 3 p.m., and also every Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. If you have some businesses, definitely give us an email at itsmarvelousradioshow@gmail.com, or you can tweet me over at dbarrett478 on Twitter. On behalf of Marvella Ivory, the namesake of this program, this is the D-Man here, Derek Barrett, wishing you a wonderful and marvelous, marvelous Sunday. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next weekend. Take care.